in the limelight.
The physical closing of Guantanamo cannot be used as a way of erasing its terrible legacy of harm. There must follow a reckoning with the collective moral failure of the U.S. it represents, says Maha Hilal writer in an article titled Guantanamo, Why Biden, Just Like Trump, Cannot Close This Brutal Prison. Stay tuned for more. For the last two decades, the most notorious prison in America has been Guantanamo. We know it today, and we knew it when the Senate Judiciary Committee held its first hearing on closing the detention center at Guantanamo in 2013. These words were delivered by Senator Dick Durbin during the opening statement of a hearing by the committee on December 7th. Though the intention of the hearing was clearly signaled by its title, Closing Guantanamo, Ending 20 Years of Injustice, conclusions remain elusive exactly 20 years after the infamous prison was opened to house prisoners of America's so-called War on Terror. There is still no end in sight. Durbin, one of the most outspoken legislative advocates for closing Guantanamo, argued during the December hearing that keeping the prison open was costly, that it impacted the U.S. reputation, and that it threatened U.S. national security. In a similar vein, one of the military witnesses at the hearing, retired Marine Major General Michael Leonard, asked, "Who gains by keeping Guantanamo open? Not America. Those who would harm us are the ones who gain. They point to the existence of Guantanamo as proof that America is not a nation of laws. They use Guantanamo as a recruiting tool. They do not want us to close Guantanamo," unquote. Just over a month before the hearing, former Guantanamo detainee and torture survivor Majid Khan testified directly about his experience in CIA custody. Khan's testimony was the first of its kind, and it prompted widespread condemnation of his treatment, including by the panel of military jurors overseeing his sentencing. Despite this opportunity to open a dialogue about how to meaningfully address the legacy of torture and brutality at Guantanamo, Durbin's was the only voice to directly acknowledge it, adding that this abuse was of no practical value in terms of intelligence, if any other tangible benefit to U.S. interests. However, it is wrong to torture whether or not useful information is gained by glossing over the brutality prisoners have been subjected to as a fundamental reason for closing Guantanamo. Even staunch critics of the prison legitimized the dehumanization of prisoners that justified building it in the first place. And the oft-repeated narrative that Guantanamo serves as a recruitment tool especially deflects away from the U.S. violent legacy of torture and indefinite detention that has made the prison infamous. 20 years and three prior presidential administrations since Guantanamo Bay Prison opened under the guise of the so-called War on Terror, its closure now rests in Biden's hands, although the Biden administration has signaled its intention is to close Guantanamo. Its actions thus far indicate that they are not prepared to expand political capital to see this goal through. Not only did the administration fail to send a representative to Senator Durbin's hearing, but the president has also signed the 2022 National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, despite it retaining decade-old restrictions on the use of federal funds for prisoner transfer from Guantanamo that effectively prevent the release of detainees even after they have been cleared through both legal and national security processes. Although Biden criticized the NDAA's Guantanamo provisions in a concurrent statement, his fundamental inaction is symptomatic of how real progress toward closing Guantanamo and reckoning with its brutal legacy is stymied by deep undercurrents of American Islamophobia. These undercurrents influence the debate on both sides in the form of anti-Muslim narratives as well as the erasure of the victims and survivors. Tellingly, during a two-hour-plus long Senate hearing on the closure of Guantanamo, the prisoner's Muslim identity was only mentioned once. The logic of collective responsibility and punishment applied uniquely to Muslims in the context of the so-called War on Terror, however, formed the backdrop throughout. One way in which the Islamophobic fallacy of collective responsibility is perpetuated is the insistence that the remaining detainees cannot be safely released because of the supposed risk of recidivism. Contributing further to the perpetuation of the narrative of collective responsibility regarding Muslim detention at Guantanamo is the U.S. recent military withdrawal from Afghanistan, rather than sticking to the government's claim that the war in Afghanistan is now over, suggesting many of the detentions should also end. The aftermath of chaos and violence that the United States regime left behind in that country has been leveraged as yet another reason why Guantanamo should not be closed. During this last hearing, for example, Jamil Jafar, the executive director of the National Security Institute, testified that the threat today is worse specifically because we withdrew from Afghanistan in the way and manner that we did, because terrorist groups see this ungoverned space as an opportunity to once again consolidate their efforts and fight the West. Demonstrating a complete lack of accountability, he suggests the problems that the U.S. left in the war's aftermath should be used to adjudicate whether or not to release prisoners. This position is buttressed by the logic that since some former prisoners have become members of the government, anyone now released from Guantanamo may enlist and challenge the United States. If the prevailing logic of collective responsibility is applied to prisoners as a function of the global reach of the U.S. state violence instead of being based on the merits of each case, then Guantanamo will always remain open and occupied. The Biden administration now has the opportunity to act forthrightly and begin the process of not merely closing Guantanamo, but reckoning with the collective moral failure that it represents. A troubling prospect, though, has been raised by recent media reports suggesting that rather than taking quite a steps to close Guantanamo, as the administration has claimed, the government is in fact actively adding to the detention facility's infrastructure by constructing a new courtroom. This addition would all but ensure that the failures of transparency and judicial principle will continue. The features of the new courtroom echo the extreme secrecy that has characterized previous Guantanamo trials, for example, by leaving no room for observers. Perhaps more important than the whims of any particular administration, however, is the fact that after 20 years, we still cannot seem to name the problem when it comes to Guantanamo. Just as the issue of police brutality cannot be solved without addressing the systematic anti-blackness that perpetuates it, Guantanamo must be seen through the lens of Islamophobia, and the context that made it possible or closure will be little more than any empty gesture. We must not let Guantanamo close its doors as a way of erasing the legacy of harm it embodies once again from public view. Instead, the U.S. must grapple seriously with the question of how to end the injustice that has been visited on Muslim prisoners and which goes far beyond abandoning the use of a physical structure.